The Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Delighted to be joined in studio by the double winning boss, the big man of Ballincollig basketball, Kieran O'Sullivan. Kieran, how are you, buddy?
Really good, yeah, really good. It's kind of landing a little bit now, just in the quieter moments at home. Last week was a great buzz with the celebrations and being around the team, and then you kind of have the, it's the end of the season, so naturally enough, guys go their separate ways, especially the professional players, they go home. So you kind of have goodbyes there. But yeah, just the last day or so now, really, you know, it's settling in a bit, that the achievement that was, the 25-26 season for Ballincollig, unbelievable, you know.
It couldn't have gone any better, was it? 28 games, 23 wins and 2 trophies right next to you here.
Yeah, yeah. It's mad to think, you know, and I think when you look back at it, I was just saying to the, on the way in there to a couple of people, you know, the past winners are on it, you know, and there's a lot of, there are double winning teams there, different clubs, but I suppose just with Ballincollig and the trajectory of where we've come from, you know, the last 9-10 years or so, to being maybe in the third division, having a kind of local league senior team, to being the top team, winning all you can win this year, it's an unbelievable journey. I think that's the part that's really hitting home at the moment.
That is quite a journey. I mean, like, how has it gone so right? I mean, like, it's obviously a huge amount of work was in behind the scenes for you to get to the level that you're at.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that it just takes time, takes a lot of work, bit of luck along the way, a lot of good people. I think a couple of things jumping out at me was, you know, kind of Andre Nation, who you would have met, that kind of signing that American pro early, you know, in our National League days to get us promoted to the Super League, and he played our first season as well and really set the tone for us. And then I think the venue as well, the committee we have do so much good work, but we play out of MTU, which is it's really, really good, and just that's pure luck, you know, just that's you know, parallel to our development, that's developing, and we can play in a state-of-the-art facility like that and get big crowds and grow it. You know, it's hard to do that in a secondary school in Ballincollig, you know, so having that as well. So, yeah, those things just really, you know, it's all working well together, and good Irish players coming through the club. So just everything, the timing has just worked. It's just worked well.
It certainly has, yeah. Go back to the start of the season, Kieran. Like, you know, you're getting ready for the start of the campaign. What are the goals and how far do you think this team can go?
You'd always have a quiet confidence. This team's won, I was in here with you 3 years ago, and we won the league, the first one, and we got to the cup final the following year. So the team has been thereabouts, you know, the last couple of years. Last year we had a bit of a down year. I stepped away from coaching and just played, and we got into the playoffs. We lost in the quarterfinal, the cup quarterfinal league. But you'd have a quiet confidence that it can go well with the team we had. Lost our first 2 games. So it's funny the way that works, you know. Sometimes it can be a bit of a trampoline if you treat it right, you know, because when you lose and you go on losing streaks, you have everyone's attention. And I thought that was big early in the season, and instead of coming with complaints, guys came with solutions. And actually the professionals this year were brilliant at that. It's very much player led. I'd love to think it was all me, but they really came with good ideas. Remember after the second game we lost to St. Vincent's at home, and Latavius Mitchell, who ended up winning player of the year, had a brilliant season for us, just kind of said, look, I've played this defensive coverage pick and roll 5 years, you know, I'm institutionalised with this. I don't think we can play the way you want us to play. I certainly, it's going to be a challenge for me. And I was like, no problem.
It was like
normally, like, there's kind of a sacred rule in sports, like coaching, and, you know, after games you shouldn't have those conversations, but I just felt, I agree with that. I agree with underage certainly, and don't talk to parents after games, and as my dad would say, like, parents are landmines, depends which one you stand on, you know, like, stay away from that kind of volatile, you know, that energy after, you know, just let people calm down. And I'd be a big advocate for that, and players and underage, but at senior level, sometimes you just need to have those conversations, because they need to be had. We lost two, we'd come off a bad year, so it's kind of like, right, where are we going? I suppose there's a recognition of we're close. We lost the first game by 1. Second game by 4, so it's not a million miles off. So just a couple of those adjustments, and in fairness, some of the players came with good ideas, and we just said, right, this is good. And we kind of trampolined, we bounced out of that really well, had everyone's attention, not going well, but close enough. And then we ended up going on a 13 game winning streak, and got us right up to the week before the cup final, won the cup. so composed. You know, the guys were just so, like, that's all you want as a coach. I think the league was really hard to win. We can get onto that, but the cup was, we'd never won it before, and we'd lost 2 years ago to Blue Demons, who'd be our Cork rivals. And we just didn't play well that day 2 years ago. So when we got back there, I was just like, I felt 2 years ago I was really tight, really just, maybe because I played for Demons and I, you know, had a really good career with them, and I was just, you know, and I was just like, that's never happening again. If win or lose, I want us to be loose. I want us to be just play away and, you know, enjoy the occasion. And Latrell Giselle had 6 3-pointers out of 7 in the first quarter. You know, they were everything but tight. And yeah, it just kind of went from there. Momentum in sport's amazing. We had a 13-game winning streak and a 9-game winning streak to finish the year. So many good performances throughout the year. But so yeah, going back to your question, it was a quiet conference, early setback, kind of bounced out of it really well and kind of went from there. And then once guys have confidence and trust in each other, it just, we're a hard team to beat. Then we had a lot of answers come the end of the year, you know.
You said you stepped away from coaching. Was that just due to exhaustion, too much on your plate, or were you wanted to focus on playing for a year, was it? Or?
Yeah, I did, young family, I think that was the biggest thing. Dylan, my son, was born in September, you know, literally 3 weeks before the season started. So I'd kind of gone into the year going, you know, I'll have two under two, so just need to step away and be at home more. So I trained a lot less, trained one or two nights a week, and then tried to build it up as the season went on. So, but it was amazing stepping away, what you learn, you know. I think as coaches, you accumulate a bit of arrogance, you know. You just get used to your way, and you forget. Like, what big thing for me this year was, like, I felt like when timeouts are called or momentum goes against you, there's a shift in the game. It's so much more important that the coach is stable, and it's not exactly what you say. You do need to give tactical information, but just actually being composed and the body language, and that, you know, the player needs to see you. There's trust there.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest learning I got from last year, is like, because I was that player again. I was like going into timeouts, and I was like, so much of it was like, I just want the coach to just not give me a hug, but just kind of just say, we're good, we'll be fine, you've done the work, we just need to make a few tweaks here and we'll be fine again. And yeah, that's something that I really learned from last year, just going back playing. So that was good for me, probably good for the players as well, just to get a break and get a different voice. And there we had a Spanish coach who was great. He built some great habits with us. It didn't work out for him. I didn't think we had the best team by any stretch, and we were, as I said, we were eliminated in the quarterfinal of both competitions. But that was good, you know, good motivator, and good for guys to kind of realise, maybe, hey, we're not as, you know, your defences are lowered, and that, you know, we're not as good as maybe we think we are. Let's step it up here. And yeah, kind of went from there then into a really good season.
Certainly.
Yeah.
Well, so what brought you back into the coaching? So it was just like, did you miss it, or was it just a request from the club? Or
yeah, I missed it. I just knew like I kind of soldiered with these guys for the last 5 seasons since COVID. Keelan Kearns had come down from Belfast then, and Adrian, my brother, and Ronan, my cousin, Dylan Corker, who's back. He'd missed last year through injury, and he was in Australia the year before, and he was on the team that won in 2003. So I felt that group, the four horsemen of the apocalypse, I call the lads. I leave myself out of it, but the four lads, we have had so much success at Ballincollig, you know, and I felt there was a really good stint in them, and I just wanted to be the guy to kind of drive that and lead that. So felt I owed it to those guys, and knew we had a couple of good young guys coming through. So yeah, that was kind of my piece on it anyway.
Getting your Americans right is always key to a good season. Talk to me about scouting Americans, and I suppose, is it a gamble in selecting your Americans, or how does it work?
It's a gamble in, like, you're looking for high talent, high character. The character piece is really hard, and that was the, you know, we've had really good Americans over the years, really talented guys. They could put their hand up and go into a gym with the guys there this year and say, he's as good, you know, you know if I line them all up, you'd go, yeah, could pick any of them. There's a certain level, but yeah, that character bit, recruiting that is really difficult. Try and talk to their coaches in college, you know, but once they hear this guy might get a pro contract, they're not gonna they're gonna push these guys and say, look, they're top class. But the guys we got, it was more the interconnectedness of them as a trio, and then filling out to the whole team. Yeah, that was the key bit, really. Just great character guys, as I said, not afraid to step up and talk and say, look, I don't think this is working, let's try this. But in the same time, you know, when it was time to, you know, deliver a strong, hard message in training or in the film, they were so coachable and great teammates that way. So yeah, the recruitment side, like Daniel O'Sullivan does a lot of work on that. Colin Murray, they, like, I suppose the way the process would be, they know the style that I would want to play, and I kind of explain that to them. And Daniel was assistant coach for a long time, knows me really well, and it's like, okay, these are the players we want to get, this type of player. And then there's a selection from there then, and you kind of narrow it down then. But yeah, the character bit, I think the attitude, the mindset, that side of it is such a can of worms. You know, you really don't know where you're going with it. So very lucky the way it turned out this year.
Yeah, and I suppose blending them with the Irish players then as well is key, and I suppose the Irish players being on board with them coming in as well.
Yeah, totally. And the skill set fitting, you know, you want, like, Latavius Mitchell was someone we never had. He was like a big enforcer, a rebounder, offensive rebounder. And, you know, our Irish guys would say that straight out. That's not what Ballincollig are known for. You know, ball movement, player movement, shoot, outside shooting. You know, we recruited to that as well at Josh and Latrell, but the Irish guys have that in spades, but just that physical toughness. So recruiting to that, you know, making sure that's filling gaps that we don't have. So all that, trying to mesh all that, that's the hard part, you know.
Yeah, but I'm getting too far ahead. Will the guys be back next year? How does it work?
Not sure. You'd hope, back to that word trampoline when you setbacks, but you'd hope guys would trampoline out of here as well and bounce out. And you know, I know there's some offers in Europe for yeah, both of them, and you'd hope that it's a stepping stone. Both guys, is their first year out of college,
yeah,
so that's the sell. And if we can do that for the next cohort of players coming out of college next year and go, okay, you come here for a year, yeah, you can go to this league, Austria, England, wherever it might be, and be better league, more money, etc. etc. So with the success they've had, it's unlikely they'll be back, and I think that's a good thing. It's good for them.
But then it's a rebuilding job for you every season, I guess, then, isn't it?
It is, yeah. That's the hard part, and that's where you need help, and that's where you need, you know, you need the recruitment to go right and go for you, and it is a bit of a lottery that way. But we do have an understanding of our style, how we want to play, how we want to set up, how it looks, and I think winning helps winning, and you can build on that, and the recruitment gets easier and easier. It was really difficult, you know, it was COVID, and then our first year Super League, who were Ballincollig, they just came out of National League. Not sure about that, if an equivalent Super League team or someone more traditional like a Colester or Blue Demons or Tralee or Neptune, they could go grab that player, because they're recognised. You can go on Google and say, look, they've won and they've been in the league a long time. Whereas for us, no, I think at the top of the league, it's players of a similar calibre are going to go. Ballincollig seem to be doing things the right way, or they're successful in what they're doing, so I'll take that chance, because they're taking a risk as well. Of course they are, the pros. So yeah, so there will be a bit of a rebuild next year, but that's exciting too, you know.
Going into the Super League final as cup champions, what is the pressure like to get that double? What's the pressure putting on yourself, and do the team feel it, I suppose, going into
the final? Yeah, it's funny, it's a rollercoaster year that way, because you're going into the year not as favourites at all, you know, nowhere near it. I don't think we were mentioned as maybe contenders, you know. And like, basketball isn't the most highly coveted or covered game, you know. There's not, like, there's 100 analysts out there, you know, but for the guys that do cover the game and do a great job at it and put basketball to the forefront as best they can, we weren't, I suppose, selected as a team coming into the year as one of the top teams. And then, you know, you go on that 13-game winning streak after losing the first two. So we definitely weren't then after losing the first two. So it was like, but then once we won the cup and won it so convincingly and went on that run, then the team kind of knows inside the dressing room, you're going, you know, it's going to take a really good team to beat us. And that pressure kind of builds from within then. So I think the biggest pressure was that the two trophies, you have to win one-off games. It's like winning the All-Ireland. It's championship. It's knockout. It's not a straight league. Whereas when I won those with, you know, on those great Demons teams, it was premiership. It was 22 games, 24 games, top team, you know, wins the league. So you're back into knockout basketball. So it's actually, it flipped. It was more, how can you sustain them for the whole year? I was actually listening to a podcast during the year, Brad Stevens, who's the head coach of the Boston Celtics. He's now the general manager, and he was talking about his days at Butler. That's how he got recruited to Boston, and just saying he was assistant coach, and just little tricks you might have during the year to kind of sustain the team and just try and keep them going. Because not that it ever got boring, far from it. You've really good teams every week, but it's just the monotony of 29 games and trying to keep them fresh. And he was telling the story of Butler, of two teams early in the training session scrimmaging, you know, 5v5 first to five, first to seven, or and he put the time on it. It was like a 10-minute scrimmage or whatever, and finished a draw. And players are like, our coach is like, circle up means we're gone, lads. You know, the training's over. And Brad Stevens said he was coaching one of those teams, assistant coaches. Like he was like, no way. The players started bickering. It was like, no way. And anyway, circle up, training over. And Brad Stevens goes over to the coach. I think it was Todd Licklider was the coach. He's the head coach of Evansville now. And he said, wait till you see them tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the boys came in and they were tearing shreds over each other again. And so just little things like that throughout the year to try and scrimmage early, try and keep them going, keep the energy up, and maybe end games and draws and training, and guys are bickering and take a bit of heat for a few minutes. But knowing that, you know, Brad Stevens just said that the head coach that time was like, he wasn't thinking about that day. He's like, he's thinking of how do you get to the end of the season. So yeah, that's little things like that to try and keep it going, because I think once we won the cup, the team knew it's going to take a really good team to beat them. And that definitely, there was a bit of pressure then towards the end of the year to kind of do it, you know.
100%, yeah. And talking about that final win over Colchester, what type of game it was?
Really tough. It was like, we knew it would be tough physically. They had been in three finals in a row, so maybe they had a different type of pressure and they wanted to get over the line. And they have a few elder statesmen as well, like us, that you never know. Like, basketball's funny. You're never too far away from getting to the finals, but it can change so quickly. And they probably felt that, you know, we might not get back here. This is three in a row. What an achievement for them. So we knew it would be really tough. And it was like, I was like, I just have a feeling, no matter how much we try and avoid it or keep the pace, it's going to be a dogfight. And it was 79-71. So defensively did really well to hold them down to that, because they're a 90-point-per-game team. So did our job defensively. But yeah, it was a real tough, tight, nerves on both sides. First quarter, I think, was really low scoring, but there was moments in it. Yeah, it wasn't the cup final. It was never going to be, because there was kind of a magic to that. You know, we scored 23 pointers. You know, it's never been done. I think Luttrell had 8 threes in that cup final. I think the record was 9. Kieran Shannon had a really good article about John Carson in that final back in the late 80s. So it was, just a tough final, physically tough. And I think the difference between the cup and the league as well is just that extra 10 or 11 games. At the end of the year, you're just exhausted. You're just trying to. You're barely just getting over, you're crawling over the line.
Yeah, I think John McHale said it best. He said, your offense won the cup final, your defense won the Super League. For Adrian to step up, 17 points, MVP. For you as a coach, he must have gone, brilliant, class. But for you as a brother, he must be going, class, that's my brother.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. He deserved it, you know, he deserved it. And that probably goes back to the pros that we had this year. They weren't selfish in that way. They just made the right basketball play. And I think our threat is three-point shooters, and Adrian is a good shooter, but his main skill is attacking the basket, and he's fearless, he's very brave. And they were staying at home on our shooters. They weren't helping off. So Adrian essentially had a 1v1 a lot of times down the floor, used his speed, got to the basket, and that was huge for us, because those couple of layups that he got, and then he got confident and hit a few outside shots as well. So yeah, it's massive, and it's a testament to the team, the kind of level of player we have, and you know, the pros especially, just giving that space to the Irish guys, and vice versa. It works both ways. It's kind of a pick your poison. And I think on any day, you know, Keelan Kearns or Dylan or other guys could have stepped up as well and got that. So, but delighted for him personally, because he's put a lot of time in, a lot of work in. He had a great game, in fairness. Yeah, massive.
I think three of your lads were named on the All-Star team as well, was it? So that's kind of a testament, I suppose, to how well you've been.
Yeah, that's huge, because sometimes they can be picked by committees, but the nice thing about that was the coaches in the league selected that. So I think that showed that I didn't have a lot of coaching to do.
Are you allowed to vote for your own players? Not actually, when you're putting in the vote, are you allowed to vote for your own players?
No. Three of the lads on the first team, Adrian's on the second team. So essentially, you know, you four of the top 10 and selected by the coaches in the league. So that's really nice for Ballincollig, you know, to get that recognition, and fair play to the lads. It was well deserved.
And for you getting coach of the year as well, that must be quite the plaudit, like quite a feather in your cap.
Yeah, it is. It's nice. It's nice to be recognised. And I suppose so much goes into that, the coaching side of it. My assistant coach was great this year, Matt Hall. He came down from Limerick. And it's the player coach part of it, I suppose, is the real challenge. but having great players and that trust, you know, the three pros and Adrian and Keelan and Dylan Ronan, guys we've soldiered with for so long, and then having Matt Hall. So the support was there, and great mentors, my dad and my uncle Kieran and Daniel. So the people around me have the confidence in me as well. But yeah, no, it was nice. It was nice for us to achieve the two trophies and the All-Stars for the lads, Adrian getting the MVP. There was a lot of firsts this year, winning the first National Cup for Ballincollig. And as a Cork team outside of Neptune and Blue Demons, who historically are so brilliant. Yeah. And, you know, we look up to both clubs just in terms of what they've achieved over the last 50, 60 years, you know. So, yeah, no, it's cool. It's really nice.
And you had great support up in Tallaght as well.
Incredible. I thought the cup final was amazing from the standpoint of Tralee had a huge crowd as well, and the atmosphere that, and we just were the aggressor in that game and came out on top early. The league final was special because all that went around with the blockades, you know, we left that morning, the Sunday morning, we got off the motorway, we were forced off the motorway at Cashel. We never got back on it until we got we came in through. We just looked at the maps and said, right, if we pick this, and we went out through Atai and in through Blessington. So we were in Wicklow. At one point we went all the way over the other side to avoid the madness. But yeah, for some of the fans to get up there that day, it was such an effort, you know, and so appreciated by the players. And it made a huge difference because the final was essentially an away game. Gillester, 20 minutes up the M50. They obviously had a huge crowd there. And, you know, and some of the Glanmire crowd, in fairness, stayed on as well. It was a long day for them to support us as well. So great to have such a support under those conditions.
Speaking of Glanmire, your wife, Claire, obviously an integral part of that team. She's one of the best basketball players in the country. Were you able to watch much of that game and beforehand, or are you just kind of focusing on your own?
Not really. It was strange because our kids were there, Emma and Dylan, and my parents were looking after them. Claire's parents, who are absolutely huge basketball people, you know, in Arnmore and Galway, they were actually in Australia out at a relative's wedding. So I got into the gym, got into the arena in Tallaght maybe just after the start of the second half. So I got to watch a bit of it. My kids were there. Didn't want to get too distracted. They're quite young. My parents looking after them. So went into the dressing room, got changed and came back out and got a lot of the last quarter. So yeah, but unfortunately, you know, it wasn't to be for them, which would have been lovely for some of those girls, Anya McKenna, you know, and Claire in particular, Miriam Lockery, you know, towards the end of their career to get another trophy, but they have a lot. Don't worry, we're not.
Are the kids mad into basketball? Do they have a choice?
They are. They like going to see the games. And we're lucky with MTU and the Mar. Like, there's plenty of space for them to run around if they do get fed up of watching. But yeah, they're mad. Dylan loves the ball. Yeah, he's mad throwing the ball around, dribbling the ball around. Yeah, he's only 18, 19 months. So yeah, I don't think they'll have much of a choice. They'll be pulled and dragged to games anyway, whether they like it or not. So yeah,
100%. Away from the court, how do you relax? I know you're a big moving and gigs guy. So what kind of things do you do to take your mind off basketball?
Yeah, I try and watch movies, like basketball gets in the way of watching movies, like if I can, and you know, since I've had kids as well, that's been a challenge.
Bluey now and
Bluey, yeah, and Peppa Pig and Paw Patrol,
there.
Yeah. I tried actually to bring some of the movies and music into the team as best I could. I actually showed them a couple of clips. Music is a big thing, you know. Josh Steele, who's the Bosman, he's from England, he'd always have music on a training or in the gym, and I like that. I like, you know, them to be comfortable if we did an individual workout on a Wednesday and he'd have the music blaring, you know, and he'd have reggae, R&B, hip-hop, he'd have all different stuff on, but just, I'd be a big advocate for that, just whatever makes him comfortable. Over Christmas, again, you talk about trying to sustain a season. I showed them, none of them had seen a Schindler's List. That's fine. One of them, Colin Blunt, he's the big character in our team. And he's like, is that the one about the Jews? If that was it. None of them had seen it, but he knew it was something to do with that. But I just wanted to show them one of the last scenes with Liam Neeson towards the end of war's ended. And he's kind of saying, you know, I could have done more.
Yeah.
I could have done more. You know, he's looking at his car. I could have sold my car. That could be 20 more and 20 more people on the list. And I was saying to them, look, not comparing the Holocaust and basketball or making anything like that, but just that sort of message of, can you do more? What can you ask your teammates? What can you ask yourself? That sort of thing. Trying to just slip in different messages like that, and not, it can't be all Ballincollig versus Neptune or Ballincollig versus Limerick Celtics and watching video and, you know, critiquing them. It's maybe thrown in something like that. It gives a different message. Yeah, that's tried to put that in. Doesn't always work, but that I thought that was that hit home with them. They enjoyed that. Some of them said they might go and watch the full 3 hours. Yeah.
It's an incredible film. I know we're both big Coen Brothers guys as well, and the Big Lebowski is obviously a huge part of my life and a huge favourite of mine. But when you look at the Coens, I suppose, which are the films that stand out for you?
That's something I should have showed them, like the Big Lebowski. I think that whole bowling alley scene, I think obviously the Coens do an unbelievable job at, maybe it's the extreme version of characters, but you that bowling alley scene with John Goodman and Jeff Bridges and Buscemi, and like they're all you know, you've the laid back, you've the like the Goodman, you know, like when we scrimmage, I always laugh at this when I watch it, is like there you have the wily veterans like Goodman, and that going, you cross the line, Smokey. Yeah, market zero, that whole...
I'm laughing.
They're what's his line? This is in Vietnam, there are rules here. You know, you'll have older players kind of coming with that to the younger guys going, you know, if we're playing a kind of competitive scrimmage. So, yeah, it's maybe showing them something like that, just like these are, you know, or you have the Danny, like the Buscemi card, the quiet young guys, and just try and keep them engaged. But yeah, there's something... Every time you watch films like that, you get something new, don't you?
It's 100%. I love that film. Absolutely love that film. Music-wise, I suppose, what's in your rotation at the moment?
I'm listening to a lot of Massive Attack at the moment.
Oh, yeah.
I've Mezzanino in the car there. Listen to the Cocteau Twins, like Elizabeth Fraser, sort of this Teardrop song. Listen to a bit of that. Listen to... bit of Geese, bit of Cameron Winter. That's kind of the new album now I'm listening to. Yeah, but all sorts of stuff going on. Yeah.
It's good to keep in mind now basketball, I suppose, and I suppose makes a change from watching film, I suppose, every night of the week, is it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're constantly looking at your own team, scouting the opposition, so it's good to have ways and means to switch off. Interstellar is a big one. I kind of, when I'm working, I like to have the Hans Zimmer, the music on in the background, but that whole... You can probably relate to that, you know. I think most, you know, professionals can, whether it's work or sport, that kind of sacrifice, you know, with your kids. You mentioned that, and like, what's selfish and what's you doing, making the most of something like the two trophies there. It's great to have them, but then maybe you're missing, you know, you talk to lads there going up in a bus to Sligo or Belfast, and they're missing a wedding or a birthday or maybe a quiet moment at home. And that whole Interstellar, I was talking to a few of the players about that during the year. That's a movie I kind of go back to every now, or different scenes in it. Just it's cool. Yeah,
it's certainly an incredible film. Kieran, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. Massive congratulations for all your success. I know you've had a week off, but I'd already imagine you're thinking about next year already.
Yeah, that's the natural thing is you get hooked into it, don't you? And you just want to keep it going, and just whether it's playing or coaching, and find ways to improve. And players then are, you know, you've younger guys then who probably feel didn't play as much, or what can I, you know, if guys coming up to you going, what do I need to do? Whether it's strength work or on the court skills, whatever it might be, what can I do to get on the court and perform? And then you may have other guys then on the other side who are, you know, getting married and having kids of their own, and kind of you're probably just saying, right, need to give these guys a push. But yeah, no, that's great. They're all good problems to have when you've had the year we've had. So just trying to enjoy it, you know, as best you can, but all the time in the back of your head knowing, you know, people are coming for you next year. you know.
How many years in basketball is this for you now?
That was my 16th season.
So what keeps coming back?
I don't know if I didn't have it. It's just ingrained in me. And definitely the Ballincollig part of it, you're kind of, because it's such a community aspect to it, like I remember after we'd won the cup, walking down the parade and the Ballincollig St. Patrick's Day parade with my son, and going, this is class, like the National Cup was there, and I had my Dylan up on my shoulders and kind of going, this is great, because this is the street I walked down 1,000 times in my life, and there's my family, and my two cousins ran the team this year, Jamie and Ron, and Adrian, my brother, and my family, everyone's involved, you know. And that's the big thing, that connection. And once you step away from that, that's a big part of your life, you know. it gets harder as you get older. It certainly does, and you have to do so much to get on the court, the gym work, and that's the stuff I'm not going to look forward to this time around. But yeah, once you get out there and just competing, I love to compete. Mm. I love to be part of that. It's part of who I am. And win or lose, you know, you take a risk when you coach, because you know when you're losing, things don't go well, and you're going to be judged regardless. But I like putting myself out there and going, if we're prepared, I feel like we can be successful, and there's a good crop there, and just young kids too. And I was a young kid too in Ballincollig, looking up, and we'd no one really to look up the way to look in at Demons and Neptune, and go, I know now, just from talking to parents, there's a lot of young kids. You mentioned your own daughters with going to the quarterfinal, same final, Clanmire, and once the kids get that bug. And I know there's kids in Ballincollig who have that, and it's like, well, let's try and be as good as we can, as competitive as we can, and try and hook more kids into it, and maybe and take it on further, you know.
Karan, a pleasure, buddy. Congratulations on all your success this year.
Thank you.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.